Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, February 18th edition of the MLB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Got some news to talk about today. Definitely a few things that happened yesterday that are worth mentioning. Usually we do the podcast today, myself and Cole Sheldon, the preview podcast at 11 a.m. I think we're going to do it at 12 p.m. noon instead today. So that's the plan right now. If that changes, I'll let you guys know. But right now the plan is to do it at noon. So a couple hours from now, James is doing his podcast. I know a lot of you guys like watching his show too, so I wanted to make sure that if you did watch both shows, you were able to watch both. So 12 o'clock noon Eastern time, me and Cole Sheldon will be breaking down UFC Auckland as well as the two Bellator cards this weekend. But today, right now, I'm going to be talking about the news as always. So let's get right into it. I'm going to start with Diego Sanchez. Diego Sanchez obviously had a very controversial fight the other night against Michelle Pereira, won by DQ in third round. Two DQs in that card. Very strange. You don't see that often. You don't see DQs very often. In fact, there was two on the same card, both via illegal knees. Very, very weird. But basically, he explained why he took the DQ, and he says it was a veteran move. He thinks it was a veteran, smart move on his part. And to be honest, like, I kind of agree with him. Like, I would have done the same thing. I think a lot of us would have. Like, he makes quite a bit of money, especially when he gets his win bonus. So it's like double money, right? It's just, to me, it's more of like the problem with the sport as far as the pay structure goes, like the show and win money. And I know a lot of people don't really like this. They just like flat rates and they hope that the sport turns to that. I don't know if it will. I mean, boxing is still mostly a show win system. So is MMA. Possibly down the road. I mean, for big fighters, like guys like Conor and guys like that, like they're going to have a flat money regardless if they win or lose. Then they obviously get a bonus for pay-per-views and stuff. But for most fighters, it's show and win. So for Diego, it's like, yeah, he could take the show money, but if he took the DQ, he also gets his win bonus too. So it made a lot of financial sense for him. I think that's part of it from what he said. But he also talked about how he was hurt. He believes he was hurt. And he says no one was in there. They don't know what it felt like to basically get cut in the head with that knee. But he also says that it's Pereira's fault. And he said Pereira hurt him really bad to the broad body, apparently broke two of his ribs before the knee to the head. So basically, Pereira screwed up. I mean, he's well on his way to winning. If he didn't hit Diego Sanchez in the head with that illegal knee, if he just kept falling with punches, he actually might have stopped the fight right then and there. You know, Diego talks about the scar that's going to be left on his head from that knee. I mean, that is true. So definitely there's something to be said about that. But yeah, I mean, basically, he made a smart move. You know, a lot of us don't agree with it. Like, personally, you know, he says, did I quit? He says, I made a smart decision to not put myself in any real danger when I got hit with an illegal shot. I mean, he did get hit with a legal shot, but at the same time, it was a ventured move. At the same time, though, I think people who said he quit, I don't think they were necessarily wrong. I don't want to say that myself. Like, it's so hard to say Diego Sanchez is a quitter. I think in this particular fight, though, he did a smart thing by taking his win bonus and taking a cheap win when he could. But again, it's Pereira's fault. You got to watch where you throw your knee, man. And he screwed up really bad. Kevin Scott, what's up, man? You got a question here. Anthony Smith turned down a chance to become a champion because he's a man of his character. Diego proved himself to be opposite for a much lesser prize. Sad to see, if you ask me. Well, I definitely understand what you're saying, Kevin. Anthony Smith actually did talk to Yahoo Sports yesterday, and he gave some thoughts about this. Basically, he said that his corner was telling him to take the win, and he just didn't want to do it. Like you said, Kev, he's a man of character. He didn't think it was the right way to win the title. But his corner was telling him, take the win, take the win, take the DQ. And again, John Jones threw a legal knee. It's his fault. He could have been docked his title for that. In Diego's case, he's an older guy now. I think he's 37, 38 now. He's definitely winding down the sport. He doesn't have much time left to make money in the sport. I don't know how much money he saved. He needs the money, clearly. So, you know, it was a business decision, man. It really was, Kevin. Do I agree with it? Not really. But I totally understand where he's coming from. And I probably would have done the same thing. When I'm sitting in my chair watching at home, I'm like, man, that is such a cheap way to win that fight because he was getting absolutely destroyed. But again, pay his fault. Threw an illegal knee. You throw bad strikes in the sport, you throw illegal strikes, you get penalized for it, and it's his fault. So it is what it is, man. But, you know, he made his business decision. But I will say this. There will be a lot of fans that don't have as much respect for Diego anymore after this, which is, you know, kind of sucks because he's been around for so long, since 2004, and he's been a warrior in the cage. Tons of good fights. But at the same time, when you make a when you do move like that, when you ask the referee, am I going to win by DQ? Can I talk to my coach about this? There are going to be people criticize you, and I think that's for good reason, you know? So I think it maybe if he wasn't caught on camera saying, like, can I talk to the coach? If he just said, like, oh, man, I'm really injured, I can't continue, that's different. But he was like, do I get to win the fight? Like, that's, I think, what really bothered a lot of people. Like, he only did it, I wouldn't say only, but part of why he did it was because he knew he was going to get an easy win on his resume. But again, I talked about this the other day, you know, the worst part about this is, Kevin, he's going to get another fight now because he won this fight. And really, he shouldn't be fighting anymore. I mean, after this performance, my God, he was just getting tooled in this fight. I don't want to see him fight anymore. I think he's done. But he probably will get another fight because he actually didn't get his hand raised somehow. Anyways, let's move on to the next thing here. Dustin Poirier. We know Dustin Poirier has been trying to get the Nate Diaz fight for a while. According to Dustin Poirier, the UFC did offer the Nate Diaz fight, and they offered Nate Diaz the Dustin Poirier fight, but Nate Diaz's camp never returned the phone call. And the UFC matchmakers told Dustin Poirier to move on. So he's moved on. At this point, he does not have a fight booked. He'd like to get back in the cage in April or May. He did mention interest in fighting at 170. He believes he could do well there. He just wants to fight fun fights. He said big fights. And, you know, that sounds good to me. And, of course, Ally Quinta also called out Dustin Poirier now. So that's a fight that could happen. I don't think this is maybe the fight that a lot of fans want to see. I think there are more exciting fights for Poirier. But Ally Quinta is definitely a good fighter. I just think at this point he's a little bit too low ranked in the division. Poirier, I think, is like 3 or something at 155, maybe higher than that. And Ally Quinta is like 9th or 10th. So I think Poirier wants a guy that's higher ranked. If I'm Poirier, I try to get that Gaethje rematch. I mean, he already knocked him out. It's a great fight. They won fight of the night. Why not get that rematch, do it again? And, you know, for Gaethje, I mean, it's a chance to run it back and get a win over a guy that already knocked you out. I think it's a really fun fight. If he wants to go to 170, there are definitely some fights up there that make sense for him as well. You know, I'd love to see the Colby Covington fight. He doesn't like Colby Covington. They don't get along. He said that they saw each other the other day, and apparently Dan Lambert had to, like, step in and had a private conversation with them, like, about, you know, just basically not doing anything. They just don't like Colby at the gym. I think it'd be a fun fight. I don't know if it's going to happen. Like, Michael Chiesa called out Colby. I think there's some other guys that want to fight Colby. But who wouldn't want to see Poirier versus Colby in, like, a grudge match from ATT? I think that'd be a great fight, guys, honestly. Would I favor Colby? Of course I would, but I still think that Poirier would be an interesting match for him considering his striking. Having said that, I think he ends up staying at 155. Let's see what Kevin says. Do you think that the Felder-Hooker winner should jump ahead of Gaethje in terms of a potential title opportunity? I think they should. Gaethje's resume is a little weaker, if you ask me. And I'm a huge Gaethje fan, just looking at it objectively. It's hard to say. I mean, Gaethje is ranked technically a little bit higher than both those guys right now. Gaethje also has that win over Donald Cerrone, which is a really good win. And, you know, all three of those guys are very exciting fighters. But Gaethje, of the three, I think he's one of the most bonuses. I think the UFC likes him the most. But, yeah, I think Felder and Hooker both have really good resumes. Felder's on a nice little win streak. Hooker's on a nice win streak. They do both have some losses, like, somewhat recently, though. Felder, obviously, against Mike Perry, although that was at 170. And then Hooker, he lost to Edson Barboza, like, I think less than two years ago. It was in 2018. So you know, both those guys have a little bit of knocks against them as well. But yeah, the winner of that, you know, it's possible Gaethje might end up fighting that winner of that fight. I think he needs to take a fight. I don't know, like, listen, Ali, his manager is a good manager. I mean, people can say what they want about Ali. Like, is he the nicest person? I don't know. But as far as a manager goes, Kev, I think he's a really good manager, Kevin. And I think he's just need to get his client a fight. I mean, he hasn't fought since September now, and Connor's moved ahead in line, and the winner of this fight might move ahead in line. The sport is a lot about what have you done for me lately, and, you know, when you haven't fought since September, people start to forget about what you did, and you knocked out Cowboy, and it was a great knockout, but Connor's knocked him out since then. It's possible Cowboy might take a second fight since the Gaethje fight, before Gaethje steps in the cage again, which is crazy to me. He's got to get back in the cage. I understand he wants to fight for the title. I get it. He's very adamant he deserves the title shot. I think he probably needs one more win at this point. I think Poirier, the rematch, would be cool. But the Felder-Hooker winner would be fun, too. So either way, he's got to get back in the cage. Getting back to the news, Mike Perry, he was speaking yesterday, and he's considering a move to 155, which I found kind of interesting to hear. He's obviously struggled a little bit. He's lost back-to-back fights against Jeff Neal and Vicente Luque. He's got beat up pretty good. He got knocked out by Jeff Neal. It was a brutal knockout. Now, considering making the move to 155, basically he says that, you know, he hasn't been training as hard as he can. He thinks he can train even harder. He thinks he can lose weight. He thinks he can get stronger and healthier. 155 Mike Perry would be interesting. Can he make the weight? It's hard to say. He'd be the perfect guy to make that like 165 pound weight class, but we don't, obviously doesn't exist in the UFC, but he would be an interesting guy at that weight division. But at 155, you know, there are some interesting fights for him for sure. You know, if the UFC wants, they can give him a top 15 guy, or, you know, they just give him someone, he's like kind of a layup before he gets into the top 15 guys. But yeah, I think it'd be interesting. Mike Perry's not ranked right now at 170, so I guess he would probably have to earn his way up with 155 pound rankings. But we all know the UFC loves this guy. He usually does get ranked opponents despite his losing streak. And think about it, he does have a win over Paul Felder. Paul Felder's ranked number 6 right now, and Mike Perry beat him. So it's possible Mike Perry could be competitive with some of these guys. It'd be interesting to see if he could do it. At this point, why not? You know, he's lost 3 of his last 4 fights. He's not a contender at 170. Why not give it a shot and try to make 155? If you can't make the weight, it is what it is. You know, moves back up. Darren Till, he explained why he's not fighting UFC 248. It is visa issues. There was some issue, basically. I think for what he said was, like, his girlfriend filled out a visa form and did not mention the fact that he was in some legal trouble in the past. And obviously, that's not a good thing. You have to, like, be very specific about what's happened to you in the past. I think eventually he'll probably get his visa back. I don't know if this is a permanent thing, but it doesn't look like he's going to be fighting at UFC 248. As we know, Cannonier is hurt now. He will not be fighting that card. Till does want to be the backup in case something else happens to Romero or Adesanya. But, you know, at this point, I think he should be focused on just maybe taking a fight in Europe or something like that, where a visa is not really an issue, because it doesn't look like the States is going to happen anytime soon. Apparently, the UFC 244 visa he got for Calvin Gastelum at the last minute was like a one-time thing. You know, Darren Till's a good fighter. It'd be nice to see him fight in the States again. UFC needs him to fight in the States. He's a big star for the UFC, but, you know, he's obviously got to take his visa, get his visa issues taken care of, because that's obviously not something the UFC can try their best, and they can, you know, try to expect these kind of things. And obviously Dana White's connection to Donald Trump. But at the same time, there are rules going in and out of countries, and sometimes, you know, you can't get past them. Last thing here, fight announcement, UFC Oklahoma City, Sarah Alper taking on Vanessa Mello. Sarah Alper was supposed to fight Judah Santana, and now she'll be fighting Vanessa Mello instead. This is at UFC Oklahoma City in May, or the Oklahoma City Thunder play. Sarah Alper, 9-4 record, coming off 3 straight wins, including a decent win over Shayna Young, who's down in the UFC herself. She just fought. Meishi Sason got beat up pretty bad. But still, you know, decent record here. And then Vanessa Mello, she is 10-7. Back-to-back losses in the UFC to Tracy Cortez and Irene Aldana. Two very very solid fighters, actually, at 135. Interesting fight here. I mean, I think you got to favor probably Alper a little bit, just based on the momentum and the win streak. But Manello does have the experience now, so you can't completely count her out of this one. Just seeing if there's any other news I missed. If you guys have any questions, throw them in there, and I'll try to answer them before I get out of here. Let's see here. I don't see a ton. There's Henry Cejudo's kind of come under fire for, I guess some people are saying it was a racist comment against Aljamain Sterling. You guys can read about that if you want. Go to Henry's Twitter. Didn't mention this the other day, but Holly Holm is the first UFC fighter to notch 50 clean drug tests. So good for her. She got some sort of award, which is kind of funny. And I think that's all I want to talk about. Like I said, I'll be back at 12 to do the breakdown show UFC Auckland and the 2 Bellator cards. So definitely check that out. And that's it for today's show, guys. All right, thanks again for joining me. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and you can follow me at MMAOsberger.com, BJPenn.com, MMArings.net. Kevin, last question here. Will you watch the Wilder Fury fight this weekend? I'm going to try to. The good thing is the UFC is during the day. Boxing is at night. There is the 2 Bellator cards, but whatever. I'd rather watch that fight. And I think the Bellator card is during the afternoon on Saturday, and there's one on Friday night. So, yeah, I think I'll try to watch that fight, man. It should be a good boxing match. We'll try to talk about that today at 12 and give our pick for that one. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye. 12 o'clock noon for the next podcast. Bye.